to make you know we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Hey!
Heaven's mercy seat. have you here.
Good morning. Welcome to ABC. For our second service of the morning, let's stand and sing.
Heaven's mercy seat.
Let's get around and shake someone's hand this morning.
I was working in town one afternoon, attending some business affairs. I heard a commotion a couple streets over and wondered what's happening there. A young man was running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him to please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and he said, I was trying to catch the crippled man, did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. My friend, if the troubles and burdens you carry are heavy and dragging you down, and you've tried everything you can possibly think of, there's no relief to be found. That very same Jesus that altered the future of the blind man, the deaf and the lame,
is still reaching out for the same. And you'll be trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? Trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. He saw it all.
Good morning, good morning. If we could work our way back to our seats. In Psalm 48, 14, we read, our God will be our guide, even to the end. Let's praise our Lord and Savior by turning to page 460, singing All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Turn to page 369, singing, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Now
page 410, singing the first and second verse of My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
This is our second service this morning, so if you look around and see someone's not here, well, we had a good start this morning, excuse me, at 9 o'clock. So keep inviting people, tell them that we got two services now. But I just want to give the Lord praise this week as far we had two souls saved this week, which was amazing. So but we would like to welcome our first-time visitors this morning. If we have any, if you could just raise your hand, we got a gift for you. All right. Well, let's pray, and then we got a special, all right? Lord, we're just thankful for this wonderful morning in your house, and just thankful for everyone that's here. Lord, I ask that you just be with the new sermon series that's starting today, and Lord, that you just speak through Pastor and just open up our hearts that we could learn something. Lord, I ask that you'd continue to be with this church, and Lord, that you'd continue to grow it, guide it. Lord, I ask if there's someone in here that need to make a decision, salvation, Lord, that you'd speak to them. Lord, they won't be able to stay in their seat for long, Lord, they can come to the altar. Lord, I ask that if there's someone in here that need to join, be baptized, Lord, that you convict their hearts, that they could just come forward and join. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you do for us, and we love you. In name and pray. Amen.
Darkness covered the land. Jesus o'er the lost souls of men. He could have called 10,000 angels to take him away from the shame. Oh, but I am so grateful. His grace reached to me the day love called my name. When Jesus died, what sacrifice, what love
and compassion was shown.
When he stretched out his hands and said, I love you this much, such mercy had never been known. And when he cried, it's finished, everything changed. I will never forget that day love called my name. Oh, why it takes so much to die upon that old tree. He took my sin and all I had been and made my life over anew. There at the cross, His love called to me, and the same love is calling to you. You ask me what love is. It's a man hanging on a tree. You ask me what mercy is. It's that man dying instead of me. When Jesus compassion, what sacrifice, what love and compassion was shown. When He stretched out His hand and said, I love you this much, such mercy had never been known. And when He cried, it's finished, everything changed. I will never forget that day, love.
Velvety pipes of Brother Chuck Schroe this morning. This morning we begin our new sermon series. It's always great when you preach an early service because I've had practice. So you guys will get the good one, I guess. But this morning we look at our new sermon series, The Soils That Set Us Apart. The Soils That Set Us Apart. You know, our hearts are representation of the soil of our faith. In the Bible, the sower, many call it, the majority of people call it the parable of the sower, but I always have called it the parable of the soils. I believe this is more about the soil than it is about the sower, and you'll see that this morning. The type of soil we sow our seed into or plant our seed in will be proven by the type and abundance of the fruit that comes out of it. So this morning I've reached into my inner Terrell Hudson. I'm not a real illustration type of preacher, but I've got illustration for the month of October and the soils that separate us. And so these four planted pots, and everybody that knows me knows I don't like plants. Miss Nancy just got a new job to water these during the month of October. I didn't say that this morning because you weren't here for the early service, but so they don't know that. But so Nancy just got a new job. Isn't that exciting? when I look at these, they just look the same. Unless you're up here, you can see what's in them. But this, to my far right, your far left, this represents the wayside. All four of these have the exact same seed in them. They've got the same amount of they'll get the same amount of water, the same amount of light, but what sets them apart is the soil, what they're being planted in. This one represents the wayside. We'll talk about that in a moment. So it's got some leaves, mulch, rocks, just kind of whatever, kids' bubble gum, I don't know, whatever was out there in the yard. This one has a bunch of rocks in it with a very thin layer of soil on it, but again, the same seed in all of these. The one to my closest on my left, this one is planted with the same seed, but it also has some weeds, some thorns placed inside of it, and the appropriate amount of soil. And then this one is undefiled, pure soil and seed. So we'll see over the month of October what we can get to grow out of those things. They'll get the exact same amount of water, like I said. If they don't, it's Nancy's fear. Come on up. Come on up. Nancy and Bud, come on up here for a second. This month, Sister Nancy, this beginning of this week, Miss Nancy completed 1 year on staff at Assurance Baptist Church as our second. Yeah, yeah. So Miss Nancy is our administrative assistant and secretary, and she does a fabulous job, and she's done a great job. It's hard to be my personal assistant. I'm a hard guy to work for. Yeah, I'm a hard guy to work for because I like things done quick, fast, in a hurry, and right. And it's kind of what it is. We call her our house mom. Miss Nancy's the same age as my mother. And so sometimes Brother Brandon and I are in trouble here at work, and we get grounded and put in the corners and all kinds of things. But she's been a real blessing to us. Brother Bud, of course, one of our trustees, but he belongs to her. And so we are so thankful for them. And we're going to, we have her gifts and those things from the church, and we're going to take her to lunch as our custom is. We'll take her to lunch tomorrow, her and Brother Bud. And so she knows me too. She's learned this. Hanging around a Baptist preacher, she's cheap. So she probably won't ask for anything good. She'll be like, well, let's just go to Wendy's or something like that. Because like she's been around me too long now after a year. But we're very thankful for the both of you and for all you do and your hard work and service. So let's give them a round of applause this morning. Bless you. Love you.
Love you, good Pastor. Job.
Love you, brother. So we're very appreciative of the Cunningham family. But as we look this month at the soils that set us apart, we find our place in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. The Gospel of Luke chapter 8 will be in the fourth verse when you get there. And just remember that these will be up here all month. And so we're going to see what happens. And we want to look at this. These soils represent our faith. It represents our heart and what the seed is based upon. And we'll see this today. Luke chapter 8, verse 14, or verse 4, excuse me. When you find that, would you stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word? The Bible says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable." The hymn is Jesus. "A sower," someone who's going out and planting seeds, "went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside," or by the side, "and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and it choked it. Another fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Excuse me. "And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." I want you to understand this. Jesus wasn't saying he didn't want people to understand. He wasn't saying that he didn't want the lost world to get it. And we'll see this in a moment. He's saying that they just will refuse to get it. That even when he tells grace to some, that only some can get saved, that's not what the Bible's saying. So let's read it in context. As we continue on, now the parable is this. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. The wording there, fruit with patience, speaks of a consistency. They're consistently bringing forth good fruit. And I thought, in this time of year, in the harvest season, the soils that set us apart, you know, there's a lot of things that set Christians apart, even our consistency in attending church. 1 week we can be 100 in this and 100 in that, or this or that, up and down. Our consistency in reading our Bibles. Our consistency in prayer, our consistency in being in fellowship with other Christian brothers and sisters, our consistency in our service to the Lord. And so I want to look into the heart, into the soil today as we continue in the Word of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know your Word says that the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. Lord, we ask now that you would help us, Lord, as we divide your truth, that we do it rightly, honestly, Lord, that we would honor you today in word and in deed. Father, we ask that you bless the reading of your word. Now, in the name of Jesus, we pray and ask it. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. In those days, seeds were scattered before the ground was actually plowed. So you didn't know the quality of the soil until the sowing was done. Until after all the seeds were sown, you didn't know the actual quality of the soil. The quantity of increase depends on the quality of the soil. The key to the story is not the soil. The key to the story is not the sower. The key to the story is the seed. The seed represents the word of God, Jesus says. And in each of these four pots, the seed is the same. The word of God is always the same. It never changes. And because the word of God is never different, what makes a difference in people's lives? When you got saved, some of the very same verses that somebody was telling you that you believed and accepted, you got saved, you've told someone else those exact same verses and they've rejected it. Why? Because there's different soils. A different heart is prepared for it or not prepared for it. Yesterday, one of Miss Bev's friends, Grace and I, went to visit her, and Miss Bev had been plowing and plowing and sowing. And so I don't say that to puff any of us up, Bev or Grace or myself. I say that to say that her heart at one time was just kind of hard to it. She wasn't ready to receive it. But then yesterday, she was ready to accept that and receive it on good soil. The same seed that Bev has been preaching to her for years, the same seed that others have been preaching to her for years, the same word of God. Nothing was different. I took my little New Testament King James out of my back pocket and read these verses and showed her, and we went over them, and the same seed was being sown, but yesterday the soil was different. Seeds never different. The key to the story is the seed. In verse 5, the wayside, all the way over there, often roads went right through agricultural fields in this day. So people would walk through and trample right along where the seed was being sown, and it pushed it down or it tore it up, and then it landed on top where birds would come in and could get to it and draw it out. In verse 6, we see the rock soil. It was very thin, underneath very rocky, and it sprung up quickly. It grew quickly, but it didn't remain because it didn't take any root because there was too many rocks and it lacked moisture there. In verse 7, we see the thorns, or some renderings would call these weeds. If you've ever planted a flower garden and there were weeds in it, the weeds can become more abundant than what you planted in the first place. You don't have to go no further than the front of our church and understand that we tried to keep it all out of there, all the weeds, and it never fails. Kids go and they throw things into the flower bed. Birds come and weeds spring out of it no matter how much work you put in. You can preen it all you want, but weeds, they grow in fertile ground too. And it choked out the good seed. And then the good ground, the fertile, thorn or weed-free, undefiled religion here. It represents different types of hearers and receivers, these soils do. It shouldn't be lost on all of us that all of our hearts have the ability to take on all four of these soils, even when we're saved at times. Today I want to reach into your heart. Some of you need to hear, number one, about the wayside soil here. The wayside soil here. Verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They hear the word, but they reject the word. How many of you have loved ones or friends? Maybe you're here today. You've heard the word of God preached over and over. The seed has been sown, but you've continued to reject it. It's because your soil is the wayside. Everything is trampling it. Look at Luke 8:10. The Bible said there, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. It's a quotation, Jesus quoting Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah told us that we wouldn't be able to see this, that he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not. The devil's purpose with the word of God is to assist people in rejecting it. His purpose is to get them to reject it, because as long as they reject it, they can't get saved. He knows the power of the word of God, the devil does. He carries it away from them like the birds. He carries the truth away. Even when it sounds like the truth, he carries the real truth away from the hearer. The word is of no effect because it never penetrates the ground. Because it keeps getting torn up and smacked down in different places, it's trodden upon. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 5. But if our gospel be hid, it is to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17 through 18. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. It's not about the preaching. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Sadly, Satan understands the power of the word of God better than most Christians. That's why he works so hard against it. Satan works harder against the word of God than most Christians do for it. The devil knows right when to bring distractions, doesn't he? A cell phone rings, a remark from the crowd while the preacher's preaching, movement while the invitation is going on. Satan knows that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and so he'll do anything he can to distract so somebody will reject it rather than accept it. I remember preaching at the jail, the same jail I worked at, went back and was doing the church services there. No matter how you feel about people getting saved in jail, we had a great jail ministry. Sunday school class at our sending church is still going on, sparked from that. And we would see people get saved and get baptized. And we'd get out, they'd get out and we'd help them and get their life going and disciple them. And a lot of those people have never been back to jail. But I remember one time we had jail deacons at this point. We had been having revival at jail. We had guys in there that had been in there for 6, 7, 8 months, and they were like awesome guys. We had one guy big as Brother Alex up here, and he'd sit in the back, and he was a jail deacon, and somebody would come in, because it's not prison. People go in and out of jail. People would come in, and they'd be talking while I was preaching, and our jail deacon would go on the desk, and they'd look at him, and he'd go, and they'd be real quiet. He was going to say, I'll snap. So he said, well, he's the new jail deacon, right? We'd have these guys in there, and they would have our back, and they'd say, you need anything, preacher? No, I'm good, bro. I'm good. Just protect me, you know what I mean? And everything was good. And we saw tons of people getting saved and people asking questions. It actually turned out I stopped preaching and start doing Bible study from the beginning of Genesis all the way through, because a lot of those guys were going to be there for a long time. And a lot of those guys, still yet, 10 years later, I'm not going to get into people's personal business, but one of them was at church a couple of weeks ago that we led to the Lord and baptized there, and he's never been back. So the word of God, the seed is the same. It's the soil that's different. But I remember one week, it's the only time it happened, but a new guy had come in, and he was quiet and listened the whole time. And we preached, and my friend, he started those first chords of Just As I Am. And right as he about to sing Just As, I bowed my head and was praying like normal. I got so comfortable in there. I used to not close my eyes in the jail, but then I got so comfortable, I bowed my eyes and my head and closed my eyes and began to give the invitation. And I just raised my eyes when I got to the part of, if you know you're a sinner, and I started going into the Romans Road, and I saw a young man getting up. Now, we didn't have an altar, but I thought maybe he thinks he's coming to the front of the church. Amen. And the next thing he did was swing on another inmate that was sitting down, and it stopped the entire service, and everybody came in, and we broke it up. And I always thought, you know, I wonder if there was anybody there that day that was going to get saved that I never got a chance to talk to, and I have no idea if they're alive or dead or where they're at, or if they've ever got another opportunity to accept the gospel. The wayside, distractions come. And the ground isn't ready for soil. But then there's a second type of hearer, the rocky soil hearer. But this one also receives. The first one rejects, but this one receives. Look at verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Listen, temptation will come as a Christian, but without a test, there's no testimony. And we see that it springs up fast, and it has joy, and it's excited, but it burns out quickly. I really try with new Christians not to get them to do too much too fast so they can get some roots first. Because otherwise, you burn out. You get going, and you're so excited, and you want to do this, you want to do that, but sometimes you got to slow down and just get rooted. Just get grounded before you can do all these things. Why? Because There's no root. There's a lack of moisture. There's a lack of care that's going on, a lack of discipleship that's happened there. This is a superficial belief and not a saving one. I want you to hear me. This belief is not one that saves people. This is one that's a profession with your mouth, but it actually never brings you to the point of salvation. Amen? So I want you to see this morning. James says that this isn't a saving faith. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Look at verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Look at 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. There's a lot of people that profess, we'll see this a little later, but they never took any root. They have a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. They may even wear a Jesus t-shirt or post on Facebook, but there's no consistency proving out that there's roots. Spurgeon said, a lack of moisture is doctrine with no feeling, experience with no humility, practice without love, faith without repentance, confidence without reservation, action without spirituality, zeal without communion. I would sum it up by saying it's religion with no relationship. I remember a couple years ago, there was a young man got baptized right here. He was so excited. I believe he's really saved, maybe. I mean, I don't know, but I believe he is. And he had a past, and all of a sudden, a past popped up back in his life in the form of a woman who was an unbeliever. And she quickly came in, and he was just surface level. He just had this much soil, and he sprung up quickly, and he was excited. He was at every service, and how can I help? And then when temptation came in, remember what Jesus said there in verse 13, when time of temptation, they fall away. Temptation in the form of this woman came, and he wasn't rooted. He hadn't been around long enough. He hadn't been discipled. He wasn't strong enough to hold on, and it went away. But then there's the thorny soil hearers. The thorny soil hearers. We see here in verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. These people are truly saved. Some seed also gets through. Look at verse 7. And some fell among thorns and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. See, seeds came up too, but weeds also came, both. You know a flower garden, you can see flowers and weeds in the same area. Fertile ground, and they're truly saved, but they bring no fruit to full maturity because of the weeds. What are the weeds? Well, Jesus says they're the cares of the world, riches and pleasures of this life. And so they're more worried about the things of the world and less worried about the things of Christ. Some of these people are truly saved, but they're not separated for God's use. Can I say this? I believe this is the most common type of Christian in our world today. I believe it's the most common type of Christian in churches. I believe it's the most common type of Christian in this church. Listen, they're choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. They're more concerned with what's going on out there. They're more concerned about what's going on with their money than they are about what's going on with the things of God. I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about in general. Instead of going to church, they go to a game. Instead of reading their Bible, they watch TV that's nothing about God. Instead of prayer, they're on the phone gossiping with somebody. There's seed that came through, but there's also thorns. The world, it's competing with their spirituality. They're choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. I knew a trustee family at our sending church, and the lady and the man, and they seemed like the all-American couple, and three beautiful young kids, and they were always at every service. They taught Sunday school. Everything they did seemed to be on point, but the wife decided to get a job, and she started working for an older, richer man, and all of a sudden, the pleasures of the world overcame her, and she fell in love with this young rich man. Been married 10, 11 years and fell in love with this richer man. She fell in love with money and with lust and these things, and she fell. And when that happens, she's truly saved, but she got caught up in the weeds and the thorns of life, and now there's a whole... What about this man? Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greets you. Demas was a well-respected and a good Christian servant. But by the time we get to 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, we see, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Same Demas. What changed? He fell in good soil, but the weeds of the world came up and started to choke out the good seed. And he changed. They stopped growing because of the competition from unspiritual things, worldliness. Can I encourage you today? Don't allow yourself to get weeds, thorns in your soil. Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that's ever happened to you if you're saved. He's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you if you're not saved. But if you truly believe that, Satan believes that. That's why he's trying to get your attention off of Jesus. Satan believes in this book. Satan understands that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He understands you grow by hearing more of this. He understands you grow by being in Sunday school. He understands that you grow by being in church. He understands that you grow by reading your Bible. He understands that you grow by listening to Christian music and not rock and roll and rap music. He understands that you grow by the spiritual things, and so he's going to try to keep you away. Some of you today, the Bengals game is going to be at 4 o'clock, church is at 5, and you won't come because you'll be more concerned about the Bengals game. Let's just call it what it is. I'm a huge Bengal fan, but I love Jesus more than I love Joe Burrow. What is the soil of your heart? Is it prepared to receive the Word of God? Is it prepared to have seed, the word of God planted in it so that you can spark up? See, that builds consistency. But there's also another type of too fertile that creeps up in churches. And this is how we get Calvinists and amillennialists and these foreign thoughts from the Bible. They're not from the Bible, but they try to make them biblical. They're too fertile, and it equals pride and knowledge. It's outside or extra biblical truth. Look at Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, this is speaking specifically of lost people, but interpreting here that it also happens to the Gnostics and the people of their day where they had a biblical semi-belief, but then they added things to it or they took things away from it. Look at 1 Timothy 3:6. It even speaks to the preacher or to the deacon and our qualifications. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. I've seen so many young preacher boys get prideful and think that they're all that in a bag of Grippo's potato chips, and the next thing you know, they're not in ministry because they've been lifted up with pride, and nobody can deal with them because they're too arrogant, they're too prideful, and nobody wants them around. Nobody wants an arrogant young man to come and preach in their pulpit. No one wants an arrogant young man to be on their church staff. No one wants an arrogant young man to come into the church and teach their Sunday school. If you can't be taught anything, you're a novice. You know what the word novice means? It means newly planted. It doesn't mean that you're just, sometimes I say, well, it means you're a new Christian. No, it means when you're new at anything. If you're new at anything or somebody's been doing it longer than you, you probably ought to listen to them. Brother Terrell Hudson been preaching as long as, and I took notes and I paid attention and I went back and read through the scriptures that he was doing. I'm the preacher. If I need to do that, I'm just being honest with you. So do you. I'm no better than you, but I am an ordained Baptist pastor that's been in full-time ministry for 10 plus years. I've led thousands of people to Christ all over the world, baptized hundreds of people. I started a church from scratch, and you're all my evidence that there's good fruit that comes from it. And all I'm saying is that if I listen to the preacher, and I know I need to go back and study and see what he says, if he's taught me something, then you and I, we got to be the same in this. Our hearts got to get ready to take some soil, take some seed into our soil. Don't be allowing weeds to come in to your soil. But then the good soil here, number 4, in verse 15, the good soil here, and he that was dead, the Bible says, and he that was dead sat up. It's speaking of what happened in the chapter of Luke before that. And I think about that, and I think about all of us who were dead in trespasses and sin. He hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. A good fruit, a good work was done in us through Jesus Christ and accepting it. In verse 15, the Bible says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The word patience here speaks of consistency and maturity. I preach the same message on Sunday morning to everybody that's in this room. I'm not preaching dueling messages, right? I'm not preaching one message to this side and one message to this side. We're all fair. It's all fair. I'm preaching the same thing. What's going out on live stream is the same thing. Sunday night, it's the same thing. Wednesday afternoon and Wednesday night, it's the same thing. Then why do some people get it and bear good fruit and some people don't? What's the difference? The Bible says it's the soil, it's the heart. Some people are ready to receive the word of God this morning, and some people aren't. Some of you are here ready to take good notes. Some of you are here with your ears open, your eyes attentive to the pastor. Some of you are ready to sit down and not move around and be distracted by other people. You're not on your cell phone. You're not playing games. You're sitting here. You're ready to receive the word of God. It's the same seed. I haven't done anything different for anybody else. I'm not giving anybody else any other luxury. I'm just preaching the exact same thing. But some of you are ready. Why do some people grow up and get fast into the church and like Brother Alex, they get saved, they get baptized, they get in the church. Now they're making scrambled eggs for the entire men's breakfast on Saturday mornings. He wants to serve and work. He's out at Grow, going around. Why do people get like Sister Abby? She gets here, she gets saved and baptized. She's like, I need to be in the ladies' class. I need to be out at Grow. Why are some people get it like that and some people don't? It's all about the soil. It's all about their heart. It isn't about what I'm giving them, because listen, the only thing I'm giving them is the divine word of God. It's not the sower, it's the divine word of God. I can't create the seed, I can just sow it. Nothing special about me, but there's something special about this book. The saved who keep the word. Look at verse 8. All these other ones, they fell on the wayside, they fell forward, abundant. Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Look at Matthew 7, 15 through 23. Let's look at it. Let's what he say about fruit. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, false prophets doesn't have to be a false preacher. It just means false people that are telling false things. They look like Christians. They act like Christians in some semblance, but they're really wolves in sheep's clothing. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. By what grows out of their soil. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits shall ye know them. But keep going here. See, this is how I know that some of those in the weeds got saved. Some of those really got it as far as salvation goes. And then some of them over here in the rocks, they thought they got it, but they didn't really get it, because Jesus, he talks to another group of people here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, I don't preach or believe in lordship salvation, but I do believe in knowing people by their fruits and repentance. And that if there's no change in you when you're born again in Jesus Christ, then you're not really saved. If you're saved and you say you don't like the Bible or reading the Bible, if you're saved and you don't like to pray, if you're saved, now listen, doing it and liking it are two different things. Sometimes we get in our flesh and we just forget or we get tired. I'm not saying that. Even the apostles fell asleep when they're supposed to be praying. But if you say, oh, I don't like going to church, or there's something better to do than going to church, then I got questions whether you're really saved or not. Because that's what the Bible says. It says, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Didn't I wear a Christian t-shirt? Didn't I go to church every once in a while? Didn't I put verses on Facebook and in thy name have cast out devils? Didn't I pray before I ate my food? Didn't I be nice to my wife and in thy name done many wonderful works? Didn't I tell my kids it was good for them to go to Awana, but I don't need to be there? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. When a seed is planted in the right conditions, it has power to bring forth abundant and useful life. When a seed is planted in the right conditions, it has power in itself to bring forth abundant and useful life. Look at 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I told you, the preacher doesn't make the seed, it is given to him by his master. Our command is this: when you come in here having your heart prepared, can I encourage you, why don't you pray before you even come into this building that your heart would be right to hear the word of God? I'm not special again, but this book is. See how many scriptures I got backing this up? Because I want to prove to you today, this isn't my word, it's God's word. And there's something about that name Jesus, but he's the word of God. And so, What is our responsibility? Our responsibility as believers, as sowers, is to sow or to spread the seed, but our responsibility of the hearer is to have the soil ready to be sown. You've heard me tell my story, but I'm so proud of my little pumpkin patch I grew one time. Granny over here, she got watermelons and all kinds of stuff. They do a good job of growing stuff. I wasn't really good at it, but one time I needed to get rid of this pumpkin, and we had pumpkin decorations, and I just needed to get rid of it, and the side of my yard looked like a good place, and you remember me telling you a story about the tomatoes that my boys peed on that never grew, but after they were hewn down and cast into the fire, the soil must have been good enough, so I said, well, let me just go over here and throw this pumpkin where those tomatoes used to be, and I threw them over there, and do you know, the next year I had pumpkins. I didn't do nothing to them. I didn't turn them over. I didn't put them into the ground. I never watered them. I never let the boys pee on them. I never did anything to them. But the next year, there was pumpkins. Why? Because it landed on good soil. It's the same seed, but the soil that it was thrown on was ready for growth. I've given you the same seed, but is your heart ready for growth? The soil that separates us, that makes us different than the bad soil, the other soil, the world. See, all four soils can be in the saved people through the flesh or the spirit. Even though we're saved, we still have flesh on our bones. So we still mess up. I love the chapter in Romans 7. I'm just paraphrasing because there's a lot of that which I will do, I won't do, and all this. But Paul basically says, I try to be good, but I'm bad. I've been trying. I tried to have good thoughts, but Tommy's over there at work acting a fool, and I just want to slap him. You know what? I was having a really good day, and I got home, and my wife said something off color, and I kicked the dog. You know what I mean? Something went on there. I hope you don't. Don't kick. We're not we don't need PETA after us. We're not encouraging that at all. Say, I try to be good. I try really hard to be good, but what I want to do, I don't do. And that which I shouldn't do, I do do. Paul puts, I love that chapter because I'm like, that's me. I try. Lord, I try so hard. I try to be good, but I just always end up missing the mark. But you know, Jesus knew that about us. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. But all four of these soils are in us. The wayside for a Christian represents there's no room for God in our lives. Leaves and mulch and rocks. Can't see the seed. Can't even see it. I can't see any good soil. A lot of you have hard hearts. Church hurt. Things that have happened or things that are going on in your life, you've been tread upon, and the seed's being torn up, and Satan has taken that and carried it far from you so that even though you're saved, you don't grow any further. Bad things have happened. You've been through bad relationships. You had a hard life growing up. All these things. I hear people say, well, my parents are divorced. I had a hard life. My wife's parents have been divorced for longer than she's been longer than they were married. And you know what? She struggles with that in some semblance of her childhood, and she goes through it. That's why I have a little dog that sleeps in my bed, because she said, all I wanted as a little girl was for a little dog to sleep in my bed, and I got to live with that. You know what I'm talking about? We're still living. The reverberations are still being passed down from something that happened 28 years ago. But you know what I know, or even longer, 30 years ago. But you know what I know is that she doesn't allow that to define the soil of her heart. Some of you are just so hard-hearted and cruel about the things of God. Some of you pick at your spouse or your kids because you say, why do you want to go to be with them church people all the time? Because you got the wayside in you. There's no room for God in our lives. Remember what happened to Jesus when he was born? There was no room in the inn. It's a typology of not having room for God in your heart. Then the rocky place is a hardened heart, spiritual burnout. You used to serve all the time. You used to be fired up. You used to sing the songs and raise your hand in church. But you did it and somebody hurt you or something bad happened or you got tired and you gave up. You went away. You got some soil. You sprang up real quick, but you couldn't stay because you never got really rooted. I've learned this about our church, and I mean no disrespect to anyone here, but I've learned this about our church. And again, 5 years in, I'm learning and I'm seeing things. Being the first time a full-time pastor, senior pastor, I saw things at our sending church, but there's differences and there's things that are the same. But one thing I've learned here is the people who are most engaged at Assurance Baptist Church are the people who do the most. The people who are always here at every service, come rain, sleet, hail, snow. The people that are in Sunday school, and the guys that come to men's prayer, and the people that are prayer meeting, they want to serve. You know why? Because in their world, in their mind, they're rooted. Their feet, Bud will say, man, today's going to be my seventh day at the church. I've been here every day today, every week. I was like, man, get you a cot. You can come over here and bunk up with me, buddy. That's what we do, right? Why? Because he's rooted, man. He's so firmly rooted into the ground and producing good fruit that I can't think of anything else I'd rather do. It's just so normal to me. You know, they say you have to do something like 1,000 times before it becomes just habit. And so when we were in the Corrections Academy, it was funny because when I first started working, I'm so old, at the Clinton County Sheriff's Office, the corrections officer didn't even have any handcuffs. We didn't even carry handcuffs with us. Like, who does that, right? We were a little behind the times down there in Mayberry. But I remember going to Corrections Academy in Greene County, and they would have us continually take our cuffs out. And I'm like, why am I doing this? We ain't even got no cuffs. So like, okay, I'm doing. And we had to do this and, you know, get it out and cuff somebody up. And we're doing it quick and quick and quick with repetition. And what they were trying to do was they were getting us to a point where when something happened, when the action happened, that we never had to think about it. It was just second nature to us that we could so quickly pull those cuffs out. When we did get cuffs, they got us these bright yellow cuffs. And, you know, you could whip those things out and have those cuffs on somebody and have them turned around and take it up to the holding cell, to the hole so quickly, and you did it so many times, and you continued with your continuing education and all these different practicums that they had. When you do it so much, it just becomes, you don't know how to do it any different way. I guarantee you today that if one of y'all got acting a fool, I could take the cuffs out of my back pocket right now and cuff you up real quick. No, I don't really have cuffs on me, but maybe I should start carrying them. Church people and inmates are kind of the same. But you know, people that are always doing it, it just becomes second nature. They don't even know any different. My son, wise beyond his years, didn't even know. My oldest son, he didn't even know. He was like, I don't know why people don't come to church all the time. He's like, I don't get it. Like, what else would you have to do? But see, being raised from the nursery all the way through church, he don't know any different. That's all he knows. He's 18. He can drive. He doesn't have to show up. I mean, he lives with me, so he has to show up. But I'm just saying, but he's like, we're at men's prayer breakfast. He's like, why don't people come to men's prayer breakfast? He's like, what else is there to do? It's like, and then this is his attitude. He's over helping the junior church. I mean, it's free food. I'm like, you are your daddy's son. Boy, you are your daddy's son. But it's just so normal to him. He don't know anything different. There's nothing more exciting to him. He's like, you know, what else am I supposed to do? He got to go with me to see that lady that got saved. He's sitting there. I used him as an illustration. He don't know anything different. His daddy's a preacher. This is what we do. We go tell people about Jesus. Wasn't awkward. Wasn't weird. He sat right down there. The lady asked him questions, and he's sitting there talking to her. I mean, it's no different. Thorns. Is the worldliness choking out your spiritual walk? Are there things about the world that are more important to you than Jesus and things of the Spirit? I'm not talking about church. I'm just talking about being a Christian. Are there things more important than reading your Bible? Are there things more important than being a good, courteous human being? Are there things more important than loving your wife or submitting to your husband? Are there things more important than raising up your children and nurture admonition of the Lord? Are there things that are more important to you than the Lord himself? But then the good ground. The word bears much fruit in our lives. I ask you this morning, what soil does your heart represent this morning? One that's prepared to receive seed, the word of God, or one that is being spread on a wayside, or on rocks, or amongst thorns, or is it the good ground that has inside of it life-bearing seed to go out and sow it to the rest of the world so that somebody else might have the opportunity to find out what soil they have in their heart? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you for this day, for this time and attention of these folks, and Lord, we offer invitation in this service as we did in the morning service. Father, we offer opportunity for people to come to the altar and pray, to talk to you, to do business with you. But Lord, I want to sow the seed now. Be ready to receive. Pray that it would hit soil today that would be good ground, that would be ready to receive, have the seed put down into the soil where it would take root, where we could nourish it, increase it, Lord, with water of the word. Lord, I pray today if there's one here, or just one, there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. There's just one here today that says, Pastor, I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Maybe even you're here and you professed it when you were a little kid, or maybe you thought you were, but your actions, your fruit's not bearing that out, and you say, I need to get reassurance of my salvation, or I need to rededicate my life. Today, we want to make that known. As the music begins to play, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one moving about, if you can accept that you're a sinner, we're on the right track. Because the Bible says, none is righteous, no, not one. And we've all made mistakes. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news about that is that Jesus Christ came down from heaven and died on Calvary's cross to pay for our sins. He substituted his body for your body. And there he was crucified, dead, and buried. And the third day he arose from the grave. And it proved that he commended his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so because Jesus died sinlessly, perfectly, and rose bodily, today you can die to sin and self and raise anew in him and be born again. How do I do that, Pastor? Well, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Jesus' first words in his ministry were repent and believe the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of himself. Repentance means turning from yourself and what you think you know and your wisdom and your pride and the thorns of the world and turning straight to Jesus and saying, only by you can I be saved and known. Some of you need to be baptized. You've been saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized. You need to start taking root, following Jesus in obedience. Some of you have never joined Assurance Baptist Church. It's biblical to be a member of a church. It's great for you just to attend, but it's biblical for you to be a member. As many that gladly received the word, and unto them were added unto the church. So today, as we start this series, the soils that separate, what is the soil of your heart? Is it the good ground that separates you from all the others? Or is there some mixture? Today, you're here and you say, Pastor Bryson, I want to be saved. I want to know when I die, for sure I go to heaven. I want to know for sure right here, right now, that I'm saved from death, hell, and the grave. And I know it's only by the blood of Jesus. Would you just do this with head bows and eyes closed? Would you just raise your eyes up at me real quick? Right up, right back down. I'm not going to call on you or come to your seat. I just want to look around so I can pray for you. I'm going to pray right here at the altar. Anybody like that today? Just even if you thought you'd been saved, but you say, I need to rededicate that. I need to get that right. Anybody like that today? Yep, I see that one. Thank you. Anybody else here today? That's me. What about you, Christian? Do you need to rededicate? Do you need to get right with the Lord? What is it? What is it right here, right now? Father God, we pray now that you would have your way and your will with this time of invitation and appeal. We're asking now, Lord Jesus, that if there's someone here today that says, I need to walk down this aisle and be saved, that they'll come find myself or one of the other pastors, or we'll find a young lady for them. And whatever it is, man with man, woman with women, maybe you say, I need to rededicate. My heart's been cold. I've not been on that good soil, that seed. I know the soil. I know the seed, but the soil's not right. Today, Lord, I pray that you draw them. Maybe there's someone who needs to join, Lord. I pray you draw them. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that we do business with you. Father God, we ask it, your will be done in Jesus' name.